Obama continually spouts about how one of his top priorities is jobs, 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 with one half-baked program after another aimed at creating make-work instead of just letting business do what it does best without excessive regulation or taxes. He burns through billions of hard-earned dollars trying to band-aid over problems while the solution sits right under his nose, and he is told as much through his repeated outcries from business leaders, "Leave us alone." In true misguided form, Obama believes, as do many politicians on both sides of the aisle, that successful businesses need to have their profits garnered and redistributed to those companies that make bad decisions, with even more stolen and given to those eligible workers who sit at home and collect benefits for almost 2 years looking for work. Jobs are created through demand, and much like Henry Ford exhibited in his assembly line revolution, produce a good product cheaply, pay your workers fairly, and the workers themselves will fuel demand with their paychecks. Unmolested by government interference and minimally taxed, his company went on to become one of the largest companies in the world, successfully employing tens of thousands of workers, most, if not all, of whom were more than thrilled to be employed and happy being able to afford to feed their families and buy other great American products. Enter the world improvers, crying for worker equality, minimum wage, childcare, health insurance, and all the things Ford's original workers could probably afford to buy on their own anyway. Then join them up with all those political meddlers looking for pet peeves to settle, and within a few decades, American business is so loaded with improvement costs, it can no longer compete with foreign countries who, like America did way back when, just want jobs so their people can feed themselves. Bogged down in costs, American businesses sought greener and cheaper pastures elsewhere, and the mass exodus of offshore jobs began. In the late 90s, with the writing on the wall begging to be read, Washington and the Federal Reserve thought we could replace good old manufacturing with an asset-based economy, where profits were no longer obtained by making and selling things, but by banks shuttling money around balance sheets while force-feeding Americans easy credits, enhancing the illusion. Like all good fiction, however, it came to an end when reality once again bled through the canvas, illustrating the flawed model America's economy had become. Not willing to give up the fight, however, more regulation and more taxes are loaded into the improver's armament and hurled over the American business landscape, while those below hunker down to take cover, not willing to venture out with more commitment, let alone more hiring, under such profit-destroying bombardment. Those in power scratch their heads and wonder where everybody went. Then they rain down even more costs and attempt to drive out jobs in a landscape littered with dead and vacated businesses, casualties of their last volley. Nothing beats a good fiction novel, however, except maybe a good comedy. And true to form, the heads of the asylum never lack for completing the task. General Electric was founded in America in 1878. It's a multinational corporation offering a multitude of products and services. It filed over 7,000 income tax returns last year, more than a good portion of those from its overseas operations. Incredibly, however, in 2010, it paid no U.S. income tax, apparently with the blessing of the current administration. Does GE outsource some of its manufacturing? You bet it does. With more than half of GE's revenue now coming from overseas, you could say it employs a few less Americans since the day it turned on its first light bulb. In fact, just last month, it closed its last light bulb factory here in the U.S. to export those jobs overseas as well. GE made over $10.8 billion just from its overseas operations and employs literally tens of thousands of workers in over 100 countries, the very same jobs Obama is using your money to try and create. So who is in control of this behemoth and guides the decisions of General Electric? His name is Jeffrey Amholt. He's the CEO, and he obviously has a lot to say about GE's outsourcing of their jobs. But don't think his influence ends at the doorsteps of General Electric's headquarters. In January 2011, he was appointed by President Obama to lead the President's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness. You can't make this stuff up. That's it for today's Money Matters. The views and opinions expressed on this newscast are my opinions only. They may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff members, or underwriters. You can hear more Money Matters at MoneyManagementRadio.com. My name's Mark Cunaberti.